Hey, this is Spoiler Country. This is Kenrick Regan over here, and that's John Horsley right there in front of me. We are here in San Diego.
What?
Getting ready to hit our first day at Comic-Con, because we get it in a day early.
Preview night.
Mill Geek Comics, Russ, really hooked us up. It's going to be exciting. Are you excited?
Oh, dude. Yes, you can say that. I've been trying to get going down there since we got up this morning, even though you can't get into like 4 or 5.
You're right, right. And this trip has been, I don't want to say magical, but it's been magical.
It's simply because
everything has fallen into place.
It's been a happenstance of perfectness, you know?
Like, right.
We came halfway the other day and stayed at my buddy Josh's house in Reading because he let us crash there at a nice place, and we got some sleep, some food, got up, and then did the last leg of the drive.
Well, you got sleep.
Yeah, you got work.
Yeah, I had work.
Yeah. But we got sleep, and I got to see my friend Josh, and then did the last leg down here to San Diego when we were staying at our buddy Pat's house. So
right.
We save on hotel, which is nice.
So we got a sponsor to come down.
Right.
And then I had to pay for any... Basically, the one thing coming out of our pocket is for one ticket, because right. We had to pay for the extra ticket.
Right.
And then gas.
And food.
And food. That's yeah. It. Besides, everything else is comped.
Right. And it's like... Part of me is like, do we deserve this? But I'm like, I don't care. It's awesome.
Of course we deserve this. What do you mean, do we deserve this?
Right, we're spoiler country. Everybody loves us.
We're spoiled for spoiler country.
You need a clap for that one.
It's good stuff. I'm really excited. I don't even know what to expect tonight, because there's not going to be any normal consumers in there. I don't know what else to call them.
So there's not... Well, there might be. So you can buy tickets to preview night,
yeah.
But they sell out. There's not a lot of them for... I don't think there's a lot of them for... the average consumer, and they sell out really quick. I know most of it's going to be pro badges, retailers, exhibitors, and
yeah.
people who were able to get the 5 day or the preview night.
I think this is the day that we're going to go, because we're big comic collectors. So this is the day we're going to go and look for a couple of choice things that we might not be able to find or have time for later on.
Right, right. My sister has me on the lookout for some Wonder Woman stuff. So I'm going to try and grab her some.
Like George Perez stuff? Or
no, she has all that.
Oh, she does. That's
she funny. Wants like... So there's an Alex Ross exclusive print here.
Okay.
It's like... I don't know how much it costs, but she wants one of those. Like really bad.
Right.
And then there's a couple exclusive Wonder Woman covers here at the con that she wants me to pick up for her.
That'd be cool.
And then she wants me to look for some of the older like Silver Golden Age books for her to see if I can find anything in a decent price range.
Well, my goal is... I think you said on the last episode that Mike Grell is here.
From what I read, he is here, yeah.
Yeah, so I'm going to go look for the Longbow Hunters. I have a copy, but I didn't know he was going to be here, so of course they're at home. I didn't bring any comic books with me.
See, remember I told the story about him signing all those long boxes?
Yeah.
What I didn't tell you is that I kept one of each of the Green Arrow ones that we had. So
nice.
I have...
You had the Longbow Hunters already done.
No, not Longbow Hunter. I don't have that one, but I have the actual the regular series he did.
Oh, okay.
But I don't have like the first couple.
I'm just gonna do the mini series.
Yeah, I might.
Is it like four episodes? I think it's four, right?
Four issues. Yeah.
Yeah, four issues.
I might follow you with that too, because I kind of want that one signed.
Yeah, maybe he'll remember you.
Maybe I'll tell him the story of my dad.
Yeah,
he'll probably remember my dad. I mean, he remember my dad 20 years.
Well, later. He'll probably remember you commissioning to do Sandman.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's a good point.
Yeah. I mean, that's unique, right? He never did it before. He had to look at something and do it.
Yeah. I got to. Since I'm finally moved to have a place that I can set stuff up.
Right.
I need to pull it out, frame it, and get it on the wall. Because right now it's in a sleeve protected by cardboard and stuff on each side of the sleeve.
Yeah.
So it's all protected, but it's not up on the wall.
Yeah.
Where it needs to be.
That'd be cool. We should check it out. But definitely, so I'm going to find those and then hopefully be able to find him. And maybe if we do it all tonight, we'll get better deals at trying to get them signed later on.
Yeah, yeah. I know. I'm excited because I don't even know what I'm doing, what we're doing. I mean, I've got the schedule on my phone, but I haven't looked at it this morning.
Yeah.
And I just know I'm more excited than I probably should be to get down there. I know by Sunday or by Saturday, we're going to be dead.
Yeah, we're going to be dead because not only are we going tonight, but we also have a friend of the show that's going to allow us to use their booth, and we're going to do podcasting from the floor.
From the floor, yeah. Probably.
That's going to be crazy.
We'll probably do that tomorrow.
Yeah.
Tomorrow we'll probably sit there for an hour or so and record from his booth. And
yeah, well, we'll try to do something every day like that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
We're going to record something everywhere every day.
Yeah.
But doing it on the floor in a booth is pretty awesome.
Yeah. It's going to be interesting. I mean, I think we'll just put a tent thing up saying, come talk to us.
Right. Come on. Come be on the podcast.
Yeah. Yeah. Tell us what you got.
Right.
Tell us what you know. Tell us why you're here.
It's going to be fun.
It's going to be a lot of fun. I'm excited. We're literally getting ready to leave here in about 20 minutes.
We're just waiting for Kaylee to get out of the shower and get dressed.
Right.
Which is going to be like, not 20 minutes, it's going to be like 30, 40 minutes, because that's my wife. That's what she does. She takes forever. But she looks fantastic.
Way to call her out.
But she looks fantastic afterwards.
You know what she needs?
Fine. Huh?
Eyelashes.
Now I have to give reference of why you're saying that.
Well, I'm not going to tell her, but I did find it on Groupon for $22, 0.3 miles away.
Did you?
Yeah.
I see. I'm okay with that.
Well, you can tell her. You can show her the Groupon.
I'm just not okay.
That way you can say it came from you.
No. See, the thing is,
I got your back.
She wanted to get her lashes done before we came down because her friend Ray does them.
Yeah.
She's a beautician. And she does them for, you know, she gives Kaylee a deal because they're friends, you know.
Right.
But we're down here and eyelashes just takes so long to do.
Yeah, well, but she can have it. She can do it while we're gone because.
Yeah.
I don't think she's not as interested to go in the day before like we are.
No, she's going with us, and but she's probably going to come back early tonight or tomorrow. But you know,
right. And you and I will be like, our legs broken, our arms broken, but yeah. We're going to drag ourselves across the floor.
Like, we're here. Show us the comics.
Exactly.
I don't know. Since I'm not here to buy, I'm not down here to buy comics this time, right?
Right.
I
wasn't either. That's the only thing, because the Longbow Hunters you can get
anywhere,
anywhere, and I think I found them. At Mill Geek Comics, Russ had, he didn't have a complete set. He had like two of them, and he sold them to me for like $5 a piece, maybe even less.
Yeah, they're not expensive.
Yeah,
but I didn't bring my comic list down. I didn't load on my phone or anything to have to fill holes or anything in my collections. I came down for the experience, for the podcast, and to go to events and stuff like that, and kind of just take it all in because this is a big deal, you know.
Yeah,
and so I don't quite, even though I've done this before, I don't quite know what to expect. Because I'm approaching
it. Well, it's been 10 years.
Right. Well, the last couple times
you're a different place in your life.
I am.
You have a lot more kids. Yeah, everything is different.
I have 100.
So you're going to look at things differently.
I have 100% more kids.
Yeah.
But no, because last time when we were here, I had the business, so we were here looking for stuff we could resell.
Right.
This year, I'm not here for that, so I'm looking for stuff that I want.
Right.
Or it's cool.
Well, yeah.
Or just to have to talk.
And being
talk
here
to
for
people.
Business is a completely different animal.
Right.
Because you're looking at books and stuff and art, and you weren't doing that. You're not. I mean, we are going to do it a little bit, but not like you were then.
And we're looking. Well, we are here for business a little bit because we're here for the podcast. And we're here to rep Russ from Mill Geek.
Yep.
You know. So, but that's a totally different. We're not here for a resale business. We're here for an entertainment business.
Right. Well, we're here to spread the name of Mill Geek Comics. Anytime we meet anybody from the Northwest or anybody all over the world, really, you want good service. You want that kind of stuff. That's where you go.
Yeah. Exactly. And to promote people to come listen to what we're doing right now.
Exactly. It's a double edge.
I don't want to toot our own horn, but maybe it's just because it's us, but I really enjoy this.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. We're getting good feedback.
Right. We've gotten some feedback from people who've listened to the show and they enjoy it, and so I think we're on the right track.
Yeah, me too.
For two guys who don't know what the fuck we're doing. Our idea literally was, hey, let's talk about comics and record it.
Right. Let's just talk about shit that we kind of know about, but not really.
Right,
and we both have annoy people. So
we both have different backgrounds and different things we like. So it comes together well.
Definitely approached it. You were kind of force fed comics by your dad.
Yeah,
in a good way. I mean,
in a good, definitely a good.
Yeah, yeah. Where I kind of had more of a self discovery, a little bit more organic with my brother and stuff.
Self discovery.
Yeah. Hey, you know what? It's
whatever works.
Like every teenage boy does in the shower.
Right. What's awesome too about being where we're at in San Diego too is we're right next to the trolley line.
Yeah.
Which gets us, the trolley goes right into San Diego. We're like six stops. And we're at the center.
Yeah.
Which is great. Because
everything really just panned out.
We don't have to park at the center, which parking at the center is insane.
Yeah.
It's insane.
And probably ridiculously expensive.
Last time I was here, parking...
I bet you it's $50 just for a normal parking.
Parking four blocks away was $75.
Yeah. See, that's ridiculous.
Yeah. And they were getting it.
Price gouging.
They were getting it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I'd charge it, too.
Right. If you're going to pay, I'm going to fucking take it.
Yeah.
Trolley lets off right in front of the convention center. We just go and... do our thing, and the trolley takes like 10 minutes. So if we want to go, if we buy something big or buy a lot of stuff, we can just bring it back on the trolley, drop it off, and head back down. And we're only missing like 40 minutes.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. I'm really excited. This is going to be a unique experience. Yep. So,
and I didn't tell you this, but yesterday I had lined up a couple people to interview.
Yeah.
Not really interview. I told
them. Well, you told me one.
Yeah.
But you have another one?
I do. So Jamie Sullivan. He does exclusive posters for shows like WonderCon and stuff. He does a lot of lithographs and posters.
Cool.
He's a buddy of mine. He's agreed to give us a few minutes of his time to have a conversation. I didn't really want to interview. I said, I'll have a conversation with you.
Yeah.
Because we're not really going to interview people. We're going to conversate with
people. We've said that from the beginning. We want to do hangouts. We don't want to do...
Yeah.
We'll do interviews when it's appropriate and when it makes sense. Like if someone wants to come on for 5 minutes because they're promoting something and we want to help promote, then that's one thing. But really, we'd rather just have you come on and talk for as long as you want. Yeah. 2 minutes, 20 minutes,
have
whatever.
Have a conversation with him. Yeah. And then I got a guy... Shit, it's going to be bad. I can't remember his name right off the top of my head, but he is the creator of a comic book called Tart.
Okay.
That I actually backed on Kickstarter. He's coming from Florida. He'll be here, and he agreed to give us some of his time for a conversation as well.
Awesome.
So I'm excited because I haven't. I believe he sent me a copy of the PDF of his book. I have not read it yet, but I should. It looks amazing.
Yeah.
That's why I backed on Kickstarter. But he has copies here of the, he has an exclusive cover here that he's selling and giving out. So I'm going to pick up my copy that, instead of it being mailed to me, I'm going to pick it up at his booth here.
Nice.
So he's agreed to give us, you know, 5-10 minutes of his time to conversate with us.
So we got a couple things we got to do. We got to do the Image cocktail party on Friday night.
One of us, half of us is.
Well, we try to get two. We can only get one.
It's fine.
But we're going to try, we're going to try to get the other person in.
I'm not bitter at all.
We'll let you guess on who can't go in. And then we have the luncheon.
Yes.
And that's both of us. And that's going to be exciting.
The retail
hopefully
luncheon.
We can meet some real big industry leaders.
Yeah, meet some people that we have been following their careers for years. Or people that are new that we love and respect.
You know, yeah.
There's so much good talent in the industry right now. There's so many great writers. There's so many great artists out there right now that...
I think some of the best writing is going on right now.
I agree. I think the writing has done nothing but get better over the last decade.
I think people realize how bad the 90s slipped.
Yeah.
How bad everything got. The art was fantastic. Don't get me wrong. A lot of the stuff in the 90s was... There's a lot of good stuff that came out in the 90s. Not all of it was bad. But generally, most of it was just all about splash pages.
A lot of it was pandering.
Yeah, a lot of pandering. Exactly.
A lot of pandering.
And I think the industry realized that they really messed up, because what holds an audience is the storyline.
The story and the quality.
Yeah.
Like, I've always touted the fact that if you have a, in general, if you have a badly drawn story with that's written well, you can get through it.
Yeah.
But if you have a greatly
That's why John's successful.
Fuck you. Well, actually, thank you, because I write some of my own stories. So there you go. I'll take it. That is a compliment, sir, and I will take it. But if it's the other way around,
yeah,
it doesn't hold. You can't do it.
Yeah.
As well. If it's
poorly drawn and poorly written, you're sunk before you.
But if it's beautifully drawn, but the writing is just shit. Case in point,
your
All-Star Batman and Robin.
Right.
You know, it's.
It can start strong.
Yeah, you can't get.
But you can't retain anything.
The only exclusion to that would be is, and I hate to dog on the guy. I love to hate him. He's a nice guy. But Rob Liefeld, right?
Mm-hmm.
He did, obviously, Deadpool and a bunch of stuff. He's a super nice guy. He's very, right. very pleasant to talk with. He did the Hawk and Dove series for New 52 with, a writer. It was written, the storylines was great, but I couldn't finish the series because I just couldn't get past the artwork.
Yeah.
The artwork, it just wasn't his good stuff. It was just, it seemed like it was rushed.
Right.
You know, and I don't want to dog on Rob Liefeld because so many people
he's
have.
He's doing something right because he's right. been in the industry a long time and
exactly.
he's had a lot of great successes.
No matter how you feel about his artwork, you got to give him credit for what he's been able to accomplish.
Yeah, I didn't like the, you sent me a YouTube video and the guy just I hated
just
it
just ripped on him.
Yeah, I didn't like it because it just felt like, what are you doing?
It was super negative, and I'm not I'm not into the whole,
but it wasn't, it just wasn't just super negative, it was super attacking.
It
and
was,
negative
it was,
and it was like, dude, who are you to attack somebody that is being successful,
right,
and doing what they love to do, obviously loves to do it,
right? He's
and
one of he's
you know, and
career.
He's putting himself out there,
yeah,
allowing you to critique him, and the guy was just, I don't know, I didn't like right. it bugged me.
As I keep saying to you is, do what you want to do, just don't be an asshole about it.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And to Rob Liefeld, do what you want to do, and we don't have to like it, but I give you mad respect for getting, you putting yourself out there and doing what you want to do.
Yeah.
Right? And if people out there like what they do, what you do, which they clearly do,
yeah,
and you can make a living off of it, bravo to you, sir.
Yeah, yeah.
But we, you know, I don't personally have to like it, and that's
well, there's
and
definitely
that's
a lot
fine.
Of people who do like it.
There definitely is, yeah.
Yeah.
There's a reason why his booth is always packed every year at a show. The reason why he can charge $107 for a VIP pass, and you know, you get good stuff out of it if you like his stuff, and people pay it.
Right.
You know, there's a reason for that. It's not because nobody likes him. It's because there's a good section of people who do.
Right. That cover on New Mutants 98 with the introduction of Deadpool is a pretty cool cover.
Yeah, it's fine. It's I mean, it's for the time.
Yeah.
It's definitely, it's very 90s.
Yeah.
I mean, and you can, what people mostly rag on Liefeld about is, if you get past the anatomy...
Feet?
The defeat, right? But if you get past the anatomy stuff, it's the fact that he draws tons of pouches and tons of big guns.
Right.
Right? But if you're drawing that and people are buying it and you're making money off it, why wouldn't you?
Right.
Right?
Why would you stop?
Exactly. So.
It's like comic book companies and variants. Why would they stop? People are buying it.
Exactly. It was just funny. We had the whole variant episode. I'm like, yeah, I'm going to get these variants down here. But we said show variants.
I'm rewarding bad behavior. I'm rewarding bad behavior.
No, but we said show variants are okay.
Yeah, show variants are cool. I like show variants. But like I said in the when we talked about that episode, I talked myself into understanding why they're doing variants.
Our gripe was we don't personally like what the pressure puts on the retailers.
Right. That's
show
my biggest thing.
Show variants are different.
Yeah.
But again, we also, our conclusion was, but if that's what you have to do to keep making comics, go right ahead.
Yeah.
don't have to like it. Do what you want to do.
I kind of wish they would allow buybacks.
Yeah.
That, I think that would make a big difference. If they did allow buybacks, you'd see a lot of series. I think you would see series that would flourish under a buyback system because it would be, I didn't buy a lot, but I sell out of those every time.
Right.
Right? But then you would have a lot of series be like dropped or storylines dropped right away because all of a sudden they ordered 500 copies, but, you know, 420 of them are coming back.
In the same vein, it kind of makes me wonder, they tout the successfulness of a comic based upon how many copies get ordered by a retailer.
Right.
But that's not true sales.
Yeah, you have no true way. The way they're doing it now, you can't judge how the quality of a book from, you know, you can judge a quality of a book from numbers only if you have a buyback system that tells you, look, I ship 400 copies of whatever. Superman, whatever, and none of them came back because the comic book store sold out. That's a success. But I shipped 600 copies of Wolverine and 500 of them came back.
That's a failure. Yeah. And it's like we said in one episode talking about, I think it was the very episode we talked about Infinity.
Yeah.
A retailer, a guy that either ordered tons of them and then had them in drop boxes for, you know, $2 later on afterwards because he couldn't sell them. Like, Infinity, by the numbers they do now, sold really well, but they just sat in stores because they had to order 100 copies to get the one variant, and nobody bought the other 90 copies.
Exactly. They just sit there. You know what's funny? I was just thinking.
Huh.
Everybody who lives in this house, there's three guys who live in the house, all of them super fit.
Right.
All of them work out. And here we are, two fat guys doing a podcast on comic books. And if they walked in right now, they'd be like, nerds!
Yeah. And we'd be like, yeah, and?
That's so funny.
I would proudly wear the Nerd Geek badge, okay? I don't have a problem with it. Who are you calling fat? Oh, me. Okay.
All right, so let's get ready and let's get out of here, and then we'll see everybody here
tonight.
Shortly.
Yeah, we'll come. Well, for you, you're going to hear nothing, and then we'll start talking again. For us, we're going to go to the con and come back and record some more.
That's right.
So prepare for a time warp. So this, as we told you, this is Cody's first time at Comic-Con in San Diego. I kind of wanted to ask him a few questions. I'm going to ask him a few questions, just kind of see what he thought. So, Cody, what did you think of your first day at Comic-Con?
It was exciting. There was a lot of people, not as much as there is going to be tomorrow.
Are you anxious for tomorrow with how many people there's going to be?
Mm-hmm. It should be really packed.
Just wait until really Saturday. Hot. Yeah, it's going to be hot and packed. What, did you see anything cool stuff there? Anything awesome you saw that you wanted?
Yeah, I saw this huge, life-size Negan wax statue.
You got a picture with it, didn't you?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. Looks pretty good. Did you buy anything today?
Yeah, I got Lucille from The Walking Dead and...
and something else. It's been a long day.
I got In-N-Out hat.
Did you get? Yep, you got In-N-Out hat. That's true. Did you have fun walking around with Kenrick here, your Uncle Kenrick?
Yeah, I got a comic book for you. You got signed by...
I did. He bought me the Longbow Hunters, Mike Grill, which we got signed. Number two, right? Yeah, number two. Yeah, we got signed by Mike Grill. Anything else you want to tell everybody about the show today?
No, but they should come next time.
Yeah, they should come. It's pretty awesome, huh? Was I right in saying that I can't describe this show? You can't compare it to like Emerald City. It can't describe this show.
I can compare it to Emerald City. It's bigger.
A lot bigger. All right, thank you, Cody. I have a super special guest with me right now. This is Kaylee from Want to See Our Radio. How you doing?
Super, super special. I'm doing pretty good. How are you?
Also my wife.
Awesome. My husband.
You're also your husband?
I said also, comma space, my husband. I'm also doing well, my husband.
All right.
You
so
dick.
Hey, don't tell me that.
Well, you're being...
So this is your first time at San Diego Comic-Con today.
This is my first time. Yes, I've been to many others, but we finally made the trek down to...
How would you compare this one to say Emerald City?
It is bigger, so it's bigger. But Emerald City, you have it on a bunch of different... it's on many floors and many different areas.
This is on many floors, too. We just only went to the first part.
Ah, shit.
And we only saw, like, 6 rows tonight.
Are you kidding me? There's a lot more?
There's so much more.
Oh, I really thought that was, like, that was it. That was, like, the whole thing, that one thing.
And the convention center, it has, like, there's, like, 7 floors to it or 6 floors, something like that.
Where the fuck are they?
Above you. But there's, like, they're not all, like, booths and stuff like that. There's, like, panels and... movie showings and art stuff like that. There's more stuff going on all around. Mm. This is preview night.
Well, then we missed a lot.
Yeah. So, Jeff, what was the highlight of the night for you at the show?
Oh God, the highlight. Cody and I went through the Walking Dead booth.
How was that?
I hate zombies.
Yes, you do. And I draw zombies.
I hate when they go after you. They're like, rawr. They sense you don't like it. So they like stare into your eyes and they got like all that makeup and crap on and it's like, and they just, yeah, they go for you. Yeah. So I usually bring a small child with me. You brought, so they leave me alone.
You brought our 12 year old tonight with you.
Yes, yes, yes.
Did you buy anything? I'm asking this question like I don't know.
I know. I bought some Harley hats that I've been wanting.
Yep.
I've been looking for a long time. A
Harley backpack.
Many times I bought a Harley backpack. I like Harley a little bit.
Just a little bit.
I know.
Are you cosplaying us for tomorrow?
Yeah, I have a couple different outfits, but I don't know which ones I'm going to wear because, I don't know, I want them to be just right. And I forgot to get my lashes done, so I have to go and do them.
Because that's the most important thing in the world.
When you're cosplaying, it's important to have the fine details. Right,
tomorrow when you're there and we're there, we'll stop some other girl who cosplayed and ask her if this is true or not.
I know it's true.
I know, but you'll ask her.
Okay.
And I'll be proven wrong.
Yes,
and
you will.
I'm okay with this.
Yeah, we found a nice shop, and hopefully it won't take very long, and they're just temporary ones.
To be clear, I'm not going with you. I'm going to the show, and you can go by yourself.
I know. I'm going to walk like 6 blocks by myself.
You take Cody with you. He'll be your muscle.
He's just as strong as I am. That kid is ripped. I know. But Comic-Con, it's been super amazing. I know I'm going to hurt and ache, but
it's worth it.
It's totally worth it.
It's hard to describe it.
Yeah, I'm like, even just the first night, I'm already like, I'm tired. I want to go to bed.
And with that, good night.
Good night, San Diego.
Okay, well, we just got back from Comic-Con. It's about 11:30.
First day.
Preview night.
Thoughts?
It was amazing. What'd you think?
I haven't been here in over a decade, and it's like being home, man.
There was just so much stuff going on.
It's so amazing. You can't describe it.
Yeah. So, we had a goal to get the complete set of the Longbow Hunters.
We did.
And then find Mr. Grell.
Because as you know, through various episodes, more than one episode of the show, we've talked about the Longbow Hunters. We've talked about Mike Grell.
Yeah. We obviously both, I think we both liked him more than we realized.
I think so too. Because I mean, like I said, I've got a bunch of books signed by him. I met him before. He's such a nice guy. He's done such great work on various things he's done.
We found him today.
We did.
GG16. Artist Alley.
Found him.
Sitting at his booth, doing signatures, $5 for personal items.
Which is a great,
unheard of.
I mean, great price. For someone in his caliber?
Unheard of. He's an industry icon.
$5 all day for his signature.
You would put him side by side with Neil Adams all day long.
Tomorrow, new goal. I want to find a copy of Action Comics 440. That is the first time Mike Grell drew Green Arrow in a comic.
Oh, there you go.
I want
to find that,
get it signed by him.
So we found Mr. Grell.
Incredibly nice guy. Yeah.
Start talking to him. Give him our copies of The Longbow Hunters.
He signs them for us.
Signs them all.
Oh, I asked him about the Sandman.
That's right.
We asked him, you ask him if he remembers drawing Sandman, and he did.
And he did. And he said he only did it twice. Right. You were the first one.
Oh, but the other one he did was Sandman with the mask.
Yeah.
So I have
this. And he said he did Death a bunch of times.
Right. And I asked him if he remembered my dad about the Warlord stuff, and he said, yes, he did. And that's
And it was believable.
The fanboy in me goes,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It didn't sound like he was just bullshitting us.
Yeah. Yeah, to be honest, John.
You thought about it for a second.
I got to say, when I looked at John, I thought you were a little starstruck there for a second.
Dude,
you were like,
Mike Grell.
You didn't want to say, like, you wanted to, it's like you had a hard time starting the conversation for
I
a second.
I did, because it's Mike Grell, man. It's if you're not a comic book fan, you don't know these people, it doesn't make sense. But for people who do, people who know who Mike Grell is, it's a weird comparison. He's like the Neil Adams for Green Arrow.
Yeah.
He's to Green Arrow what Neil Adams is to Batman.
I think you put him with side by side with Neil Adams all day long.
Oh, yeah, all day long.
Yeah. I think he had a bigger impact to Green Arrow.
Overall.
Because I think Frank Miller still would have done Batman.
Oh, and I think what Grell did to Arrow has pulled through, even to the Arrow's TV show.
Yeah.
If you think about it.
Yeah. We told him we wish they were still doing Arrow in Seattle and doing that whole thing. And he's like, write DC. Let them know because I feel the same way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
So we gave him a thing for Ayn's Anthology.
Yep.
And
like that.
Yep. And we gave him a business card
for our
podcast.
And here's the kicker. Before we even say anything, he did what?
He says, if you guys want me to come on, let me know. I'd be happy to.
Right? Come on.
Chills.
Right?
Which is so funny because, I mean, obviously he's not somebody from Hollywood or anything.
Who cares? To us, he is.
Yeah, us, this is a big deal for us.
It's a huge deal to have our first scheduled guest.
This is somebody we read, somebody, because he wrote and drew the Longbow Hunters.
And he wrote and drew the Green Arrow series he worked on.
Yeah.
Know? I mean, he had people work on with him, but, I mean, he did those, just those covers for those books are amazing.
Yeah, and just to have him go, yeah, I want to talk with you guys.
Yeah, and then schedule a time with us.
Yep, he looked at his schedule, said, hey, I'm busy this time, let's do it this time on Sunday. So tentatively, we have our first interview.
Our first schedule. I mean, we will probably actually record one before this because it's on Sunday. But our first scheduled interview with Mike Grell, Sunday around noon at San Diego Comic Con. We're going to sit down with him. We're going to ask him some great questions.
Yep.
Well, our opinion, great questions.
Right.
I mean, we got
things that we're interested in.
Right. Yeah. This is I know we said we're not going to do interviews, but this is somebody who deserves an interview.
Right. Well, it's somebody that is a busy man, and it's especially at Comic Con.
Right.
So we want to
respect his time.
Yeah. We want to respect his time.
And it's somebody who I actually have questions that I would love to hear his answers on.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I'm super excited.
This is a man that's done, I mean, he, like I said, his, what he did to Green Arrow is still sits through in the comics of how Arrow is today.
Yep. So now we're going to read The Longbow Hunters again.
Yeah, and a power read it
just be so Sunday. That way it's fresh in our mind.
Yep, yep.
Going to do some research on Mike Grell himself just so that we can ask him poignant questions.
I want to ask him about Star City becoming Seattle. I want to ask him about the Warlord series he did, and then a couple other things. I think we should kind of go over our questions together and kind of pick five or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because we need to be concise to the point and not waste a bunch of his time.
Right.
You know? I don't know how much time he's going to give us, but I'm expecting like maybe 5-10 minutes, which is more than enough.
If he gave us 30 seconds, I'll be ecstatic.
If he just said, hi, I'm Mike Grell, I'd be happy with that too.
Right. Right. So again, this comes from us from Mill Geek Comics.
Oh, thank Russ, you, Russ
really hooked us up, got us here. We wouldn't be having this experience without him.
Yeah. So this is amazing. The experience, the feeling like we're doing this podcast now and it's we're taking it seriously.
Always took it seriously, but it's just weird. It just feels like things are falling into place.
It feels like other people are taking it seriously.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, I mean, we are, let's be honest, right now we are a Know Nothing podcast and that's okay.
That's okay.
But we're giving our card and everybody we give our card to today that talked to us about it seemed like, this is cool. Ask us questions.
So we have another guy named Stefan Franks.
Right, he has his book. His current book's called Silver, which you picked up the first
all three volumes,
all three,
and he signed all of them.
It looks great.
So this guy was the animation supervisor on the Iron Giant, the
fucking Iron Giant.
Did some directing of Smurfs,
right?
Did some other things that check out.
He created some cartoons I'm not familiar with, but I'm
super nice guy.
Dude, he worked on Iron Giant and this Sliver series, his pitch to it, and looking through the books, it looks
amazing.
Fantastic.
All black and white.
The art, it's black and white with some tones, and it looks amazing.
Yeah, it looks amazing.
Yeah, I'm excited to read it.
Yeah, I can't wait. We're going to power read that.
We're going to read one. He'll read one, I'll read one, then two, then three.
We'll just switch back and forth. He's agreed to come on.
Yeah.
So in a couple weeks, look for that, because that's going to be an amazing interview.
We're going to schedule him for a conversation.
Yeah, we're going to do a conversation with him. I think we're going to keep it loose.
We'll have some questions. I have some questions about Iron Giant. I want to ask him.
Yeah.
And I am 100% certain after reading his book, I'm going to have something to say about that with him too.
Oh, yeah.
Because that episode, we're going to review all three books.
That's right.
And then talk to him afterwards and kind of let him know how he thought about it.
Yeah.
If it lives up to how good it looks.
I think it will.
I think it will too.
Yeah, I think it will. His wife was really nice. He was really nice.
Whoever the guy that was with him I don't know if you noticed this, but he was wearing a hoodie.
Uh-huh.
It was a Dogma production hoodie from the movie Dogma.
Oh, that's hilarious.
And he got it from his buddy who was on the production crew. And he was a nice guy. It was great.
And then another icing on the cake.
Yes.
Was who?
So we were walked by the DC booth. And first we got Nicholas Scott to sign some copies of Wonder Woman for us and for my daughters, for my wife, and your people. And we had, we talked to her. Then we went around like, Andy Kubert signing too.
Yep.
And I was like, I love Andy Kubert. Andy Kubert, don't know, he worked on Dark Knight 3 with Frank Miller and Azrelio. He worked on Damian, Son of Batman. He's worked on a bunch of DC stuff. He's worked on Marvel stuff. He was
amazing artist.
X-Men in the 90s. He was Andy Kubert and Jim Lee. He's done a ton of stuff.
Yeah. Amazing artist.
I met him years ago at one of the shows. I just talked to him for a few minutes. Super nice guy.
Yep.
And we walked up and he has these ads for a Watchmen series, but on the back of them, in the front of them, looks like a comic board, right?
Right.
And he was signing them for free, and you can say hi to him.
Yep.
And Kenrick, go ahead and say what you did.
I give him our business card. And then we also made up some placards for Ayn's Anthology.
That's the book that I'm working on.
That Johnny's working on right now. Ayn's Anthology, so people know, is 600 years of one family. It's an anthology of everything that's gone through to bring this family what it is today, or what it is at the time of...
Can you tell that Kenrick's my hype man for this?
Yeah.
I have a hard time talking about stuff. I get shy, and I have some anxiety issues, and I just...
It's all good. So, 600 years, we have a family that has evil people and good people and not so good people, not so evil people trying to just live. The problem is the supernatural tends to seep into their life. They kind of get brought into things. Now, the cool thing about this project is Johnny has 25, 26...
I've hired 25. There's probably only going to be 20 in the book.
That's right. So... He's hired 25 different writers from all over the world to write different stories all around this one family. And then Johnny is doing all the art. So I bring out the placard. I tell Andy all about the project. He was very interested.
He seemed 100% legitimately interested. Yeah. Like, it wasn't no bullshit, like, oh, this is cool, kid.
So
he generally looked like he was interested in the story and, like, engaging in it.
Yep. Then I gave him our podcast business card,
which he also seemed genuinely interested in.
Yep, he wants to check it out. But the cool thing is, they started talking. I got him to sign up a thing for Mill Geek Comics to write it up.
Yep.
Regards to Mill Geek Comics, Andy Kubert. It was awesome. Then he turns to Johnny, gives Johnny his placard back, and says, "Will you sign this for me?" So not only did Johnny get Andy Kubert's autograph, Johnny gave Andy Kubert his autograph.
Yeah, it's, I mean, I've been asked for my autograph before at shows where I'm selling prints and stuff, and that's whatever. But to have an industry person like Andy Kubert, who's been around for 20, 30 years, who's helped create some great characters and told some great stories, to turn around and say, "Hey, will you sign this for me?"
Worked side by side with the likes of Frank Miller.
Yeah.
With the likes of Jim Lee.
If you don't know who he is, just Google search his name, look at his stuff, and you'll say, "Oh, I have actually read books by this guy." Because I guarantee you, if you read comics, you've read something that he's worked on.
That's right.
But to have him...
Especially if you've read Batman.
Yeah, or X-Men.
Or X-Men, yeah.
Yeah. But to have him turn around and ask me for my autograph now...
And generally want it. Not just do it to be like a jerk. No,
I said, he seemed... I mean, if he was lying to us and being... And being not serious about this, or not being very genuine about this, he's an incredibly good actor. It felt 100% genuine. And he talked to us for a little while.
Yeah.
You know, he shook our hands. He told me he's gonna sign up for the email list, which is, I mean, Andy Cooper's gonna be on my email list.
I know.
Fuck yeah, right?
Yep.
And he's excited for it to come out. He's gonna keep a watch out for it, and it's
awesome.
I was on cloud nine when that happened. That was awesome. That for me, like, as the artist in me and the creator in me, that was my pinnacle moment today.
Yeah.
Like, for for the collector in me, the Mike Grove agreeing to an interview thing, that's a huge deal. But as the creator, being asked or meeting Andy Cooper
because it was somebody that you aspire to be.
I would love
reaching down to you and saying, "Hey, good job, man! This is awesome. I'm interested in what you're doing.
It's amazing.
It's kind of like validation for what you've been working on. And the only thing is, it's going to do is going to motivate you. Pass the any kind of lull that you're going to have.
Because
you're
going
to be like, dude, not only is Andy Kubert looking for your anthology, now Mike Grell's looking for your anthology,
right? Because he has a copy of it too.
And yeah,
to have these guys. I want this thing to look as good as it can be. If I have people like them who are going to pick it up,
yeah,
you know, I don't want to have Andy Kubert pick it up and go, "Oh, this is shit." When it's all done, I want to put my A game in every single page of this book.
What kind of people are actually looking at it now?
Right, and it's
industry people that can say, "Hey, check out this book this kid made."
Right, it's
it's really cool.
So now what we're
going to do is, of course, we're going to ask him for...
We'll see if we meet up with him tomorrow. We're going to ask him if we can have
a few minutes. Just a hangout.
Yeah, just hang out with him. Hey.
Yeah, in a couple weeks.
Give us 10, 20 minutes of your time. You call in, maybe more. However much you want to give us, talk to us.
Yep. 2 minutes, 5 minutes, 2 hours, whatever you want. We're just going to talk. We're just going to hang out and talk about stuff.
Yeah. We may ask you a few questions, but mostly we just want to talk to you.
Yeah. We'll just ask questions and move the conversation forward.
Right.
But really, it'd be such a blast. Such a nice guy.
Yeah, he was very genuine. You know, it was funny because he took a picture with Cody, and Cody was like, what's funny is Cody doesn't know who he is, but he knows his work. Cody's actually read books by Andy Kubert before.
Right.
Right, because Andy Kubert worked on Flashpoint and stuff like that.
Right.
You know, it was cool because Cody's so shy. I love that kid, but he's so shy when it comes up like that.
I think he's getting it from you.
He does get it from me, man, because I'm an observer. Like, I can talk your ear off on a podcast because no one's watching us.
Right. When it's just you and I, you're like, you don't shut up.
But if we ever have to do like a live show, I'm like, all right, let's give me a few drinks and we'll be good.
What's funny is Johnny's wife is my niece, and we are on that floor and we're talking to everybody.
Everybody.
Anybody at cars. Da, da, da. Have you seen this? Have you talked? This is what we do. This is what we have. This is what we're doing. This is what we're trying to get.
Right.
You know what I mean? Check out. Here's our business card. Here's this. And they're talking to us, and Johnny's like, this is cool. Yeah. This is cool.
It's cool. Because for me, it's like, they're doing what I want to do, but I'm just too mentally not
in your head.
Right, in my head about it. And it's,
but that kind of stuff will come and go, and,
yeah,
and you never know. You'll see it at some point. You just kind of get over that.
Some people are better at that shit than other people. You know, yeah.
You just go for it.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
But it's awesome.
But it worked out today. Today was an amazing experience.
Today was fantastic.
Yeah, those three things to me. And the funny thing is with Stephen Franks from Silver.
Yeah.
That was the first guy we actually talked to when they opened the doors. So we had retailer badges,
well,
but I have a broken foot. And so, of course, my niece will not shut up. She will talk your ear off until you agree to do what she's asking to do.
And
she had us in the front of the line with the security guards going, okay, you guys can be right here.
So when they opened
the door, we were the first ones into the door. Yep. It was hilarious.
Because she will get her way.
Yeah. As we burst into the door, that was the first booth we went to and talked to. And it wasn't even 2 minutes in, I had already spent $30-$40.
Right. Buy this guy's book. Because it looked amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. It looked amazing. And he sat and talked with us and was interested in what we were having to say and what we did.
Right. They did the selling of the book the right way.
Right.
It wasn't generic. It wasn't fake. It wasn't, it's a guy. It felt like they were
trying to be very organic about it.
Yeah, and it felt like they were very genuine about their excitement behind it, but they weren't trying to push it on it. It really was very much a, hey, here's our book. Do you want to look at it? If you want to know more about it, let me know. If not,
I'm excited to read it.
Yeah, I'm too.
I'm really excited to read it.
I am too. It looks good. So also, after, while we were talking to Silver, while you were talking with him, I talked to him a little bit. I also walked over because the first booth on that aisle was the Arsenic Lullaby booth, which is Douglas, and I'm probably going to butcher your last name, Paskowitz, I believe is how you pronounce it. If I'm wrong, I am sorry. But he's a guy that I actually met back in 2002, 2004, one of those two Comic-Cons. I think it was the 02 one, but I'm not 100%. And I bought his first trade paperback there. He signed it, and he drew a big picture for me back then, back before he got to where he is today. And he's, if you don't know who he is, which people might not if they're not into dark humor, he is the new series artist on the Tick book from New England Comics. He picked up that gig. That book, his first issue comes out in October. And The Tick, if you don't know, is an amazing series. If you like humor and superheroes, read The Tick.
Yeah.
And they have a TV show on Amazon now. And he's now the main series artist on that book. So I went to his booth because I've been following him for a long time. I'm part of his email list, and he's a funny guy. He's a good guy. And in his last email, he had, hey, if you come to Comic-Con, the code word is, I'm not going to say, because if you want to go join his email list, you can pick out three of my sketch pages here that are his. What he does is he draws like prelim sketches for his panels, which are pretty much almost finalized, just they have all the lines on them before he goes to the final ones. You can get three of them for free.
Yeah, that's pretty crazy.
So I went, I saw, I'm going right there. So I went, after we started there, I went right there, said my magical code word, and I got three pages. I got two that were from the Tick book he's working on, and one of them that was a prelim sketch for a cover for a book he did.
That's awesome.
And then what I'm going to do with my mom is a huge fan of the Tick. So I'm going to take those Tick sketches, I'm going to frame them up for her, and I'm going to give them to her.
That's amazing.
Because she loves the Tick, and he's drawing the Tick now. So also tomorrow at the Tick booth, he's going to be there doing sketches and stuff on the Tick covers. So I'm going to head back over there and try and get one of those tomorrow at 1 o'clock.
You know who'd be fun to try to find too is Mike Mignola.
Yeah, he's a good guy.
Yeah.
I've actually talked to him back in Portland. Several years ago.
I love Hellboy.
He's such a down-to-earth guy.
It's such a fun read.
Yeah, it's a fun read. It's good. Yeah.
All of his stuff is so fun.
He'd be a good one to have on the show.
Yeah.
So, hear that, Mike Mignola, if you're listening. We want you on the show.
We want you on the... We're coming for you, Mignola.
Because we know you're listening.
We're coming for you. All right, man. I'm tired.
I am too. I got to power edit this, get it up.
Yeah, and I got a broken foot, and I walked. And every time these guys would take off, I'm like, I can't walk that fast. I am so sorry. I can't walk that fast.
Well, suck it up, Buttercup, because you're doing it again tomorrow.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be even worse tomorrow. So.
This is Spoiler Country. I'm John.
I'm Kenrick.
And we will see you, or you will hear us, tomorrow.
Peace.